repeat it once more. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we see here what love is and what gets in the way of that. Lord, as we look at this passage today, help us to remember the most important thing is what love is. That's what we are to be doing. That should be on our minds as we look at those who are around us, as we look at this world, to share the love that you've shown to us. So Lord, as we look at this passage today, it looks at all those things that get in the way. Help us to see truly where we stand. And help us to get rid of those things that don't belong, those attitudes, those ways of looking at others that don't fit with what love is. Be with my words, may they be true to yours. And Lord, as we, your people, look at this your passage, help us to see your truth and to delight in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we talked about what love is. Real simple. Love is patient and kind. Today we'll look at a lot of things that get in the way of that. Paul lists 7 wrong attitudes that shine the focus on those things that get in the way of love, of being patient and kind, doing what God has called us to do. And then he adds one more thing at the end that complements love, that it rejoices in the truth. So as we look at this, this passage, we'll look at it in pairs because he sets it up in pairs, things that sort of go together. First, envy or boast, then rude or insisting on its own way, then irritable or resentful, and then rejoicing at wrongdoing. Those are all negatives. And one positive, it rejoices in the truth. So the first pair, envy or boast. Well, envy is the Greek word, if we take the Greek word and put it into English, it looks a lot like jealous. Well, that's the idea, to envy or to be jealous. It can be used in a positive way, where we're really zealous, and that's another translation that you'll see here and there. You're zealous for certain things. We're zealous for the things of God. We're zealous for the right things. And we want to keep away from those things that don't belong. That's used in a positive sense. But here, Paul definitely uses in that negative sense where we're jealous. We're envious. We look around us and say, they've got something that I don't have and I want it. We covet. We think that others around us have something that we need or we should have. Now, it could be things, could be material things. It could be just things like attention, honor. They're getting more attention than I am. I need to somehow get that attention back. Well, how do I do that? Well, sometimes it's just by standing up and saying, well, look at me. I've got this and this and this, and so I must be better than you. And other times it's doing something really negative, doing something hurtful to someone else to put them down. Well, jealousy brings in a lot of things. The Corinthians would set themselves up by something as ridiculous as who God used as the instrument to bring them to faith. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. No. jealousies. It's setting oneself up against someone else. Maybe it was how tolerant they could be of someone living in sin. Or what gifts they had. My gift is better than your gift. The Corinthians are going back, for they're jealous, and they're putting other people down, and they're doing all of these things because of that jealousy. But love is patient and kind. When we envy or are jealous, it's really hard to be patient. It's really hard to be kind. Now, the second part of this pair, to boast, it's being puffed up. I don't know if any of you have seen the Harry Potter movies, but if you have, in one of them, there's this aunt that's at the table, and she's pretty arrogant, and she's putting down Harry, and things aren't going real well, and all of a sudden, she starts to get puffed up in a real sense. And so she just fills with hot air. And what happens when you fill with hot air? Well, she starts to rise. And eventually she sort of squeezes out the door and she just goes off into the air, puffed up. Do people get puffed up? You know, in that sense of thinking, they're full of hot air. I'm more important than you are. I have more than you do. That's the idea that's here. The braggart, the one that's constantly saying how good they are. Well, often that's a sort of a sign that they're a little bit insecure because they have to point out to everyone how good they are. Being puffed up. Thinking of self rather than thinking of others. And that's pretty characteristic of all the things that Paul lists here. Thinking of self instead of thinking of others. Love is patient and kind. Envy and boasting get in the way of love. Okay, the next pair, rude, or insist on its own way. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. The word for rude here, the King James translates it, doth not behave itself unseemly. Now, that may sound a little strange and a little stilted, but it's a pretty good understanding of what this word means. Does not behave itself, or doth not, sorry, behave itself unseemly. It sort of captures the idea of what, better than the idea of what Paul's saying here, a little better than the English word rude. It has that idea of behaving shamefully or disgracefully, doing something that just shouldn't be done. Doing something that is unseemly. When does that happen? Well, often it happens when we're thinking of ourselves instead of thinking of others. We start doing things that we're not thinking about how we're going to impact other people. We're rude. And then the other part of that, insist on its own way. Love does not insist on its own way. Again, putting self first. Love is patient and kind. It is not self-seeking. But you know what? I'm always right. So, you know, when it says, well, it's, you know, it says insist on its own way. Well, if my way's right, then shouldn't I insist on it? I'm always right. So, obviously, everyone should fall in line and do what's right, right? Is that enough rights in there? Anyway, you ever think that? Remember, there are different perspectives. People have different gifts, and they use them in different ways. There may be more than one side when you're looking at a particular problem or a particular situation. And sometimes we need, when we think, I'm right, and everyone else should fall in line, sometimes we need to take a step back and say, might there be something I'm missing? Might there be something where someone else is looking at it in a different way, and maybe someone's looking at it in a better way than I am? See, none of us have the corner on what is right, unless we're just going by God's word. That's what's right. But in various situations, it's a matter of looking at the situation and applying God's word to it. And sometimes there are different things that we're not thinking about that we need to consider. We don't always have a corner on what is right. We need to be willing to bend always, not to sin, not to go against what God says, but be willing to bend sometimes and say, maybe there is something different here that I'm missing. Willing to accept the opinions of others. Willing to give the benefit of the doubt to some people who we might look at and think that they're doing wrong, but maybe they're doing what God wants them to do, and we need to consider that. Love is patient and kind. It puts others ahead of self. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. The next pair, irritable or resentful. Well, irritable. Easily angered. Easily provoked. Do you know people that it seems like just the slightest provocation is going to set them off, get them angry? That's what this word is talking about. Okay? It's easily provoked. What sets you off? What sets others off so that you get angry? I like to think of starting fires. Anyone like to start campfires? Okay. Starting a fire. Sometimes it is so simple. You know, the air is dry, the things that you're trying to burn are dry, everything's good. You can even just rub two sticks together, doing it the right way, and a fire will start. It's great when things work out like that. Well, we were at the top of Panther Peak one year, and it was about 30 below, and everything was covered in either ice or snow, and trying to get a fire started in those conditions was pretty abysmal. Someone had fire starters, that was nice, but the fire starter would burn and just barely get something else going, it'd melt enough of the snow that was over the stick or whatever, and it would start to burn, but it was so cold and so wet around there that boom, as soon as that fire starter was no longer there, everything would go out. So we tried for an hour or so that night to get a fire going. It was cold. It would have been nice to have a fire. But eventually everyone just climbed in their sleeping bags and went to sleep because that was the only thing that could keep you warm. We need to be a little more like that. Are you easily angered? Are you easily provoked? Are you like that fire where everything is set to go all the time? You're like that tinderbox that is all set to start up right away. And you get angry at the least provocation. Well, that's not the way we are to be. Love is not easily angered. It's not easily provoked. It is not irritable. But love is more like that fire at 30 below, where it's really hard to get it going. And it doesn't stay going. Even after you get a little bit there, it doesn't stay there. Well, that's the way our anger needs to be. Okay? We need to look and say, okay, we take a step back and make sure we're not stoking the fire. We take a step back and we say, why am I angry? What do I need to do? How do I need to change my perspective on what's happening here so that I can keep from being angry? It's not irritable. It's not resentful. Oh, just a correction. I meant to mention this. Last week I was talking about that those guys that, and they're usually guys, they'll say, I'm frustrated. I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. That's anger. Okay, that's something I mentioned last week. Now, that doesn't mean, though, and I didn't point this out, that doesn't mean that all frustration is anger, okay? So you can get frustrated at something. Things just aren't working out. But the thing is, you can look at all of those things and say, okay, what's the best way to respond to this? Now, those who are easily angered respond with that anger right away. Okay, so the frustration leads to anger, and then it's still called frustration because that sounds better than anger. But it's anger, okay? But you can respond to to frustration in different ways. Okay, how can I look at this in a different way? How can I work through this? How can I think of someone else instead of thinking of myself so that it's not frustrating to me? How can I love? Because love is patient and love is kind. So that's just a little correction or an addendum to what I was talking about last week, but it fits in here. Now, one reason that we're easily angered is that we become resentful of others. Now, I'm not sure if resentful is the best way to translate this word either, but literally it's does not reckon the evil. Does not reckon the evil. Another translation says keeps no record of wrongs. And I think that's what Paul's getting at here, that God's getting at here, is that we don't build up all of these things that we have in the background. We don't carry this baggage with us that says, oh, I see this happening again, and it's happened before, and I have to deal with this over and over and over again. We don't carry this baggage with us. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't reckon the evil. It doesn't put that on someone's account. So that every time we look at them, we're bringing this other baggage with us and dealing with them in an improper way. Love deals with each situation as it comes. It doesn't reach back into the old baggage and pull out the other wrongs as justification for doing something that's wrong. And so often that's the case. Instead of treating someone else with love, we reach back and we pull out this other stuff so that we can be justified to act in a way that's really ungodly. And we need to make sure we don't do that. Love is patient and kind, is not easily angered, and does not keep a record of wrongs. So we've had 6 negatives, and now we've got 1 negative, 1 more negative, so it's 7. Oh, gee, I wonder where that number comes from, 7. Often the idea of completion is noted by the number 7. But then we have something that's a positive. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, at unrighteousness. It doesn't delight in evil, as the psalm said. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. When I was reffing, it seems like a lot of the referees, you know, they could be a little rough on the edges. And so you're sort of confined in this little space. And usually we had a closet to change in before the game. And you're confined in this little space. And people, generally, if someone was with me alone, they recognized that I didn't swear and I didn't talk about certain things. And so if I was alone with someone, generally they'd keep it fairly calm. But if there was a bunch of us together, so like it was a tournament or something, there's a bunch of us in the room, it could get pretty salty, I guess. When someone described that of someone I know. It could get pretty salty in there. And you'd hear some things and you'd hear some jokes that were a little bit off color. Do you delight in those things? Well, God doesn't delight in unrighteousness. He doesn't delight in evil. And the idea here is that, hey, that's not what we should delight in either. We should delight in righteousness. We should delight in what God is doing with us and through us and in us. We should take delight in seeing how God is making us more righteous as we are sanctified, as the Holy Spirit works in us and applies His word to our lives. That's where we should find our delight. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. When we see how God's word applies to our lives, When we see that there's a passage in here that we say, oh, that really makes sense. And, you know, if I do that, if that's the way that I treat my husband or treat my wife, or if that's the way that I treat the people around me, you know what? Things might go a little better. Rejoices with the truth. So it doesn't delight in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. The main thing here, the main point that Paul is making in this passage, just that, those first few words, love is patient and kind. All of the attitudes that we see, they'll go along with this, and you know, I mentioned seven, but there's 2, 4, 6, okay, 7. Anyway, all of these attitudes are things that get in the way of just those two simple things, being patient and being kind. All of these things sort of stem from putting ourselves first instead of others. Instead of loving our neighbor as ourselves, we love ourselves and then put our neighbors in whatever perspective we need to. But that's not love. Love is patient and kind. It rejoices with the truth. That is the truth that Paul is bringing to us. And if we are patient and kind, if we do rejoice in the truth, then we'll see how God wants us to live, how God wants us to act toward others, how God wants us to deal with the frustrations of this world as we're patient and kind and rejoice with the truth. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you give us wisdom. You give us teaching that will allow us to deal with the things that happen in this world, but deal with them in a way that's positive, that brings about your desires, brings about the things that you want to see accomplished in this world. As you have loved us, help us to love one another. Help us to show love in all situations. In Jesus' name we pray.